Sports Podcast. We are going to talk about the SEC expansion today and also Team USA basketball's trials and failures. And we're also coming back at you with special guest, Willie Lines. Will, say what's up.
What's going on, man? Appreciate y'all for having me. I got a lot to say, so I'm excited to get right into it.
Yeah, and I think last time we didn't really introduce Will too well as we could have before. So, Will, if you just want to tell everybody a little bit about who you are, what you do, and where you're at.
Yeah, I'm an undergraduate student at Clemson University, about to go into my senior year, much like David also. And then, as you know, Austin and Mikey go to a couple other universities. But I've been working with the athletic department for a couple years in Clemson, so I can talk about it a little bit, you know. I can't say too much. That's insider trading.
I can't give away the secrets.
Yeah, Dabo won't let me give away too much.
Man. Yeah, and we'll definitely have a lot to say about today's topic, our big topic. We're short Mikey. He had some stuff going on, so we subbed in Will, who is going to fit in perfectly with us. So I guess we'll jump right into it. So hot topic in the sports world right now is this whole SEC expansion thing. It really is big news. For a lot of reasons. One, the SEC is a very dominant conference of college football, on top of the fact that now you're adding two of the biggest revenue universities in terms of football, like Oklahoma and Texas. Now, nothing is confirmed, but it's looking like here in the next couple of years or so, Texas and Oklahoma are going to be a part of the SEC, and that is going to bring a huge ripple effect to the college football world, because, like I said, Texas, Oklahoma, especially Texas, everybody knows, brings in so much money, and the fact that they're going to leave the Big 12 is going to really hurt the Big 12 in terms of number of teams and revenue. And I really don't know if the Big 12 is going to be able to hold Power Five title anymore after this. If this happens,
Big 12 is dead.
Yeah, it's not looking.
If this happens, it's dead.
Yeah, I don't see any possible way the Big 12 bounces back from this. But as a fan of a school who's in the SEC, I mean, you can't not like it. So I saw this interesting tweet where it said that when the SEC added on Texas A&M and Missouri, they brought in $663 million of revenue by adding those two schools.
As the year progressed?
Yeah, like it said, which brought along that addition of Missouri and Texas A&M brought along $663 million in brand value to their conference. The brand value of adding Oklahoma and Texas is $2 billion.
Holy cow.
So as a fan of a that's team in the Texas, SEC, yeah. I like it because that's more money for us that we're going to be able to bring in, which is going to update facilities and update everything about the program, which is going to bring in better recruits. And so I'm obviously a fan of it. But also, I want to make it clear for this episode specifically, I am a big Gamecock fan, but I'm going to try really, like, I really am going to come at this as like as a neutral party. I'm really going to come at this.
We'll
as
see how that goes.
Yeah, you're always so good at that.
See, I'm not with the Dolphins and the Heat, I'm very like, because at the end of the day, I love NFL football. I love NBA basketball, but college football is what I really like. I know a lot about, and I'm going to try to come at this very, very neutral as best I can. And really, there's really no way to be biased on this one, because I want South Carolina. Nothing's going to happen to South Carolina other than us getting more money. So there's really no way I could really be biased.
They're still going to lose to Clemson.
Okay.
That's anyway. Anyway. The years are too scared to play them.
Okay. Anyway, so I saw this thing on Instagram that ESPN College Football posted, and it said if Texas and Oklahoma leave the Big 12, who should take their spots? And I was looking at some of these, and a couple of them are okay, but reading the comments and looking at some of these ones that they had posted, I was like, man, people are stupid. I mean, people are so, like, just closed-minded to the fact that college football is, one, not the only sport that these conferences and universities care about or need to worry, think about. And while it is a big money grab and it is a big money sport, and there's so much more to this, and people are just really – and honestly, a lot of these people, some of these takes are like, I don't think they understand how geography works. Like, conferences are typically in the same region of the country.
Yeah.
Some of these takes are really stretching it. I mean, it is bad.
And it's interesting that – Texas and Oklahoma, even for me, are joining the SEC because they're going to be expanding it farther out west than any other team in
right.
the SEC right now.
Right.
I wouldn't really call them Southeast at all.
No.
If anything, they're Midwest, closer
right.
to than.
Right.
I mean, they are South, but.
Right. Yeah, it's definitely going to take some some adjustments for the divisions, because even I saw in this, and as a South Carolina fan, I still want Texas and
Oklahoma. So, I mean, Texas and Oklahoma are going to have big home field advantage compared to the rest of the conference, potentially, if the teams are having to travel that much further out.
Well, and yeah,
they're near A&M, though. They got some teams out there.
Yeah, and
Louisiana's not too
this,
far.
And this just, goes to show, like, even like I was saying, trying to be not biased, I still want us to add Oklahoma and Texas. I mean, those are two big schools. It makes the conference look better, and it brings in more money, and it's going to eventually, even though we're not going to see it right away, it's definitely going to help our program.
Right.
But by them doing this, it's like I've seen a bunch of mock, like, what they're going to have to do with the East and West, and that you can't put Texas and Oklahoma in the East. So you're going to have to put two West teams in the East, and some teams I saw were like Alabama and Auburn are going to have to go to the SEC West. I mean, SEC East. So South Carolina, we're going to play Alabama every year. Like, so... we're going to play Auburn, Alabama, Georgia, Florida every single year, guaranteed. So it's like, for me, it's like, yeah, if you think I'm trying to be biased here, it's not that.
Well, we have to play Alabama every year anyways. Yeah, okay. At Clemson.
we're gonna get into that. Yeah. So I'm going to go through some of these tweets that I saw. Let's guys get your bounce back. And this is the first one is one that I thought was legit, where it said, I thought this was a good take. Adam Gibby. This is, I'm going to give them credit.
Who's that?
The guy who tweeted this. It's a
Adam
Gibby.
Adam Gibby.
My boy Adam.
He said,
that boy.
Have to go with four teams for Power 5 status. So it's basically saying that for the Big 12 to come back to this, they're going to have, not to add two more teams to fill those spots, they're going to have four teams.
So they're going
to
be the Big 14?
No, it's funny because there was a year they didn't even have 12.
How many 12. They have right now? They have 12?
Yeah.
Yeah. And doesn't the Big Ten have like 14?
Yeah,
like
it's not, just, yeah. Really yeah, the numbers don't
that's,
matter.
That's what it is.
Yeah, okay. The numbers. I don't even care about those. It's just a name at this point.
Oh, well, if you don't care, then they don't matter.
The four teams to hold Power 5 status, not two. So
thank God Austin doesn't care.
So anyway, the four teams that it added on to was BYU, Boise State, Tulsa, and Houston.
Yikes!
With BYU, I kind of see. Maybe even though it's kind of in that general region, and BYU did have a very good year this year. I don't know if they can maintain it, but I mean that wouldn't be a bad one to add. Boise State is one that I think is a good move, even though it is in Idaho. I think that is a really good move because Boise State has always been they've grown into a.
That'll probably help them stay more consistent.
Oh, they would love it. Boise State would absolutely love to join the Big 12, join the Power 5 conference.
And they'd actually be able to play some good competition. Because that's the whole argument against Boise State is that they don't play anybody.
If they join,
which is honestly a valid argument.
Right. But if they join the Big 12 and the Big 12 maintains its Power 5 status, this gives them a chance every year for the national championship.
Right.
If they run out in the Big 12, they have a chance, like Oklahoma has, of playing in the playoff.
Right.
Tulsa's a weird one. Tulsa's a good team for the American Conference. It's a good team. I think they're kind of reaching with that one. And Houston is the same boat as Tulsa. Those are two of the top teams in that conference, that smaller American Conference. But, I still don't think that's enough. I don't think those four teams are going to replace
Houston was really good a few years ago.
Yeah, and they're solid. Pretty good at basketball. Same argument they have with Boise is they don't play anybody.
Right.
So Houston,
they were like undefeated, right?
Something like that, one loss. Maybe. Like that.
Yeah.
I'll give you guys one better. One team that I think most of the major conferences, especially the ACC, should be calling right now trying to pull up is UCF.
And that's on here. That's actually on here.
Yeah, because
that's actually a take on here.
They're like a top 10 team. They would be if they were, you know, playing good teams and they rolled up.
Well, their record would make them a top 10 team. I personally have been a non-believer in UCF. Like, I couldn't stand when they beat
Auburn. They're saying they were the
national
champion.
They beat Auburn in a bowl game, and we're talking about in a New Year's Six bowl game, and we're saying they're national champions. I'm like, you understand? You're playing Auburn, who feels like they were one win away from the SEC championship to go to the national championship. You played them, so they probably really didn't care to play you that much. That game was not that big of a deal to them.
Yeah.
And you squeaked by them in that sense. And then, but then the next year, or it was either, I think it was the next year, they played Joe Burrow and LSU before Joe Burrow really blew up and they mollywopped him. So, rightfully so.
Happens, yeah.
So, anyway.
Happens to the best of us, man.
So, I think that's not too bad of a take.
He's all right.
I still don't think that's enough. I don't think that's enough to really
pretty good.
to replace Texas and Oklahoma. And those names aren't that big.
Boise never going to be enough.
It's kind of, I think the Big 12 is done if this happens.
Yeah, that's like, I'd be like Clemson and Florida State leaving the ACC.
Facts.
It would absolutely crumple you.
Now, this one isn't a bad one. This is another one I saw. It's called by Big Ten Bum.
Big Ten Bum.
Bum and Bum.
Yeah, these Big Ten people. Anyway, he said that Notre Dame should join the Big Ten, which is not possible, I don't believe. I'm not an expert on this topic, but I don't believe Notre Dame can join the Big Ten because they're contracted to – they're in the ACC in all their sports, correct?
Pretty much. I think there might
be like – they're like honorary guest members.
I'm pretty sure I was watching SportsCenter today. They're ACC. And I saw that they –
They're not in football, though, right?
No.
Yeah, they're independent of football, but they're an ACC school.
So their contract basically says their football team cannot join another conference unless it's the ACC. They can either be an independent or join the ACC. So I don't think it's possible, but we'll just play. We'll play like it is possible because we're not 100% sure.
And they also wouldn't just and because they have to get those rivalry games in. Don't they have to play like Stanford and Navy? They got to play a bunch of teams that would be out of conference.
Yeah,
so they couldn't even join the Big Ten anyway.
Yeah, we'll just go with it. Notre Dame should join the Big Ten. The rest of the Big 12 teams should be dispersed in the other four conferences. And then this is where I do like what he said, though, because having four power – this is what I think of having four conferences. Sorry, I was really messing up.
Oh, yeah, I guess it would be power four.
Yeah, it'd be the power four.
Four.
The four conference champions would be the four teams in the playoff.
Interesting.
Now, that really says –
that would suck for the SEC.
It really would. And that would also,
Oregon or like
– that would also really mess up – because like, think about this.
I think they should expand the college football playoff.
I think there should be
eight.
If this happens,
it's gonna happen
100%.
Yeah.
But think about this though. Say they keep it four, and say like my
way. And that would just make it more enjoyable to watch. Just give us more playoff games.
And Texas Oklahoma off in the SEC, and you got to move Alabama and Auburn over to the East. So say you have Alabama, Georgia, Auburn, which have all in Florida have all four had the ability to be very good teams at one point. Say they're all good and they just beating each other up. Only one advances. The other three that are probably better than some of these conference champion winners in other conferences, they're screwed.
Right. Exactly.
Just because they're in such a strong division in their conference.
Right.
I mean, this has happened before, but it's also been where you've had two SEC teams can make it. Now you do this with – I don't know if you can. But we'll see. I mean, it's tough, but like
– so if they had 18 –
because if you remember a couple years ago when Tua came in for Jalen Hurts in the national championship, the national championship was Georgia and Alabama.
Yeah.
Two SEC schools in the national championship.
Yeah.
Like – so I don't know. That would kind of suck to not have the best team. I think, obviously, you want to have the best four teams in there. Now, with conferences, it makes it hard. But this would I don't know how much of an effect this would have on making sure the best four teams get into the playoff. That's what I think it should be.
Are they actually in talks of expanding? Would it be
I'm not going to say.
I think it would be 12. It's going to be
12?
Yeah.
Oh,
I think they're looking at a 12-team playoff. Because I think you're looking at a top four, you know, all the conference champions get by.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. Because if it was eight, then there would have to be two teams with a bye. Mm-hmm. But yeah, that would be cool if they had the top four with a bye.
And that's what this seems like. It seems like everyone's just kind of posturing and planning for the 12-team playoff.
Because there's always those teams that are lingering around that you're like, want to see what they can do. Mm-hmm. But
like UCF, they could have gotten 12 seed.
Exactly.
Yeah, and more than likely they would lose. Yeah. But they get that chance, and then makes
because if they play Bama, then
adding that expansion would also probably hurt the power four at this time, or say we still have power 5, it would hurt the power 5 because then that would not give them as much power. It would basically say like you could still make the playoff if you're in the Sun Belt Conference.
I would disagree with that
because like Coastal could get in now if we had 12, Coastal could get in.
So why is that bad for them? I mean,
it's not bad for those smaller conferences. It would just kind of take away the power that the power 5 has.
Which is a good thing.
I mean, yeah, I'm just making a statement.
I got you.
I'm not saying either one is bad or
it's
good.
It's more of a run. And especially, like, if you are a Boise State and you're saying, okay, there's 12 teams in this playoff, we have a chance to go to the playoff. You can maybe play for a national championship.
Yeah.
So that would draw players away than just the guys that want to go to Georgia or Clemson or Alabama to play for the national championship.
Facts. Yeah, so because, I mean, now it's like once you've established yourself as that dynasty-level school, you're really the only school that's pulling in those types of players at this point because no one else – everyone wants to compete for a championship.
Yeah, I mean, you do have your schools like – no matter what, Texas A&M is always going to have a really good recruiting class because they're in Texas.
Since they joined the SEC.
Yeah.
They used to be getting their asses kicked all the time.
Texas A&M, you look at their recruiting –
that's why Texas is doing it.
It's ridiculous. Like even
Texas is kind of falling off recently.
Well, they get good recruiting
record-wise, yes. But recruiting-wise, they still are getting some of the best recruits in the country.
And they are losing a lot to Texas A&M because they're in the SEC.
Another one you go back, and we can pull this up.
Yeah, if you just play better teams, you're going to be better. It's like that's why you practice against good players. You want to get better, play against people that are better than you.
Mm-hmm. And next time we'll look it up. I mean, even look at a team like –
being the dumbest person in the room. You know?
like a Georgia. Like Georgia, their recruiting classes are always up
top three every year.
And they're not winning national championships every year. They haven't won national championships forever.
Because they suck.
I think Georgia
is a bunch of thugs.
I'm calling this now. I'm just going to put this out there now. I think Georgia has a really good chance this year. Because nothing's going to happen this year.
Georgia has a really good chance every year.
You're crazy, man. You think Georgia's going to win some football games? You're right.
I think Georgia is I think this could be a big year for them.
They couldn't get it done with Todd Gurley and Nick Chubb.
Darion Kendrick is going to get burned in the playoffs because he's been doing that the past 2 years at Clemson.
They're bringing back a lot of talent. Yeah, I think Georgia is going to be very good. The East is down.
One thing we know about Georgia is they got dogs.
As long as they can get through.
Got dogs.
As long as Georgia can get through whoever comes out of the West, I think Georgia will make a lot of noise. I'm calling it here now. I really think so.
Anyway. Okay. They'll make some noise and they're going to get silenced. Yeah.
Yeah.
As in Wolf.
Pull a John Wick, shoot the dog, bro. They're done.
Anyway. So the next one I saw.
We got tigers.
And this is where these next couple
tiger
ones.
Dog, what you want?
These next couple ones get a little dumb to me. Perfect. This is where it gets like bad. MJ Hammer said, South Carolina.
MJ Hammer. Let's just.
He said, South Carolina, Vanderbilt, Mississippi State, Kentucky, Arkansas, Tennessee. Pick any two. To go to the Big 12.
Say those again?
South Carolina, Vanderbilt, Mississippi State, Kentucky, Arkansas, Tennessee. Pick any two. A very dumb take. Because
I mean, they can't.
It's very dumb.
Change teams. None of the universities are ever going to willingly jump to the Big 12.
None of these schools have any
reason. Is it up to them?
Yeah.
Yeah. The SEC can't trade them. The SEC can't trade them.
We'll get you Mizzou and Oklahoma, and keep in mind this is a Clemson fan who actually tried to get the
all in as the profile picture, so it doesn't surprise me.
Let's go, baby. All in.
Shout out MJ Hammer, my boy.
Why would any of these schools leave the SEC? It makes no sense. Yeah. It makes none.
They would.
They're getting so much money. Even if you're Vanderbilt, who's notoriously the worst football-wise, the worst football team in the conference, they have facilities better than a lot of these other schools because they're in the SEC.
And I will say Vanderbilt is the most ACC school I could think of. They are good at baseball. They are very good academically, and they're
pretty
still
solid basketball team.
Yeah, and they're kind of on the Atlantic Coast a little bit, but they're never going to leave the SEC because that's where you want to be, especially with this realignment going on. Yeah. Everyone's going to try to come to a corner. Everyone wants to go to the SEC. No one's going to leave.
Yeah, especially – no, I wouldn't say everybody. I wouldn't say like
– I know – I do as a Clemson fan.
I know a lot of these – but a lot of these teams and other conferences that are running their conferences, I don't necessarily think they want to, but I do think like a team like a Texas and Oklahoma, well, that
– Oklahoma
– is going to run that conference, yeah.
But I could definitely see Texas wanting to go SEC because they're losing SEC guys every year. To Georgia, to Florida, and all that.
Because they're selling, like, these SEC schools are selling, you get to play in the SEC, you get to play against the best.
Exactly.
SEC makes
draft picks. That's a fact.
Yeah, that is. I mean, every year they have the most NFL players drafted. So, I mean, that's what their selling point is. And if Texas now, that's literally the only thing that people can't sell, that Texas can't sell. They can sell. We got the best facilities in the country. We've got all the money in the world. The one thing, though, that recruits are like, well,
we got Matthew McConaughey.
But at the end of the day, these recruits are coming in, and they're like, all right. These recruits are coming in, and they're like, we want to go to the next level.
All right, boys.
The track record is the SEC.
Yeah, it always is.
So, yeah, I just thought it was a really dumb take because none of these schools are going to ever want to leave there.
MJ Hammer.
And also, like, South Carolina in the Big 12.
MJ Hammer, I love you.
I don't know.
Yeah, it doesn't make sense geographically either.
Then this one is kind of the same thing, Missouri and Vanderbilt. They're not going to do that. And Missouri just came from the Big 12 to the SEC.
Yeah.
Which makes no sense.
Facts.
Yeah. No one's leaving the SEC.
Then this one said UCF, you know that. And UCF as a team, I get it. Being in Florida, I don't really think that makes much sense to be in the Big 12. I do think UCF needs, if they want to be.
They come to the ACC.
That's not a bad one at all.
That would be cool.
And that kind
of. We need some competition.
That segues me into this, where UCF would be a good one to add with West Virginia. Because West Virginia has made it vocal that West Virginia came out and said, if Oklahoma and Texas go to the SEC, they want to go to the ACC.
So what?
West Virginia said, if Oklahoma and Texas go to the SEC, they want to go to the ACC.
I would take that, as a representative for Clemson.
That conference, football-wise, is a joke right now. Adding West Virginia, who has had power, I mean,
they're okay.
Been dominant in the past.
I will say, it's a good move to get West Virginia, but if all Clemson does in response to if all the ACC does is grab West Virginia, that's not doing anything. The ACC is still done.
Yeah, West Virginia's
compared
not
to the SEC.
Right.
They got to make some more moves, like maybe adding Notre Dame to the football.
Yeah, that would help them out. And we're gonna get to that because me and you want to talk about that. We're gonna definitely get into the whole Clemson ACC comparison here. But this is the take I thought was the dumbest. And his last one.
But before we do that.
Who is this?
This guy. He says Oregon and Oregon State.
Wait, what's his name though?
To the Cole SEC? Keener.
Cole Keener, to the, you
to
suck.
To the Southeastern Conference.
To the Big 12. This is the Big 12. Oregon and Oregon State. Now, this is only dumb. I mean, the Pac-12 is not that great. And neither one of these teams are really dominating, even though Oregon usually is up there. Dominating the Pac-12, and the Pac-12 is kind of a joke, in my opinion. I think it's the worst conference out of them all.
It is.
Oregon, the worst. Oregon in the Big 12? I don't know. I think that is just just so stupid.
Geographically, it doesn't make sense. I think that's dumb. There's a lot of these that might make sense on paper if you just look at the success that the programs have had recently.
Yeah.
But you got to look at the other sports. You got to look at their academics. You got to look at geographically.
Yeah.
Geographically, you could argue that Clemson and Miami or Florida State would make the most sense to go to the SEC.
Yeah.
I'm glad you said
there
that.
There was a rumor that the SEC reached out to, what was it, like Michigan and Penn State were one of them. Yeah. But Clemson was one of them. Florida State was one of them.
Yeah. That would be cool. But that would kill the ACC conference, basically. Yeah.
And
the SEC,
least for the time being.
Mm-hmm. That's a great...
I wouldn't care.
Yeah.
That's a great segue into what we were going to talk about, was the fact that Clemson... So I was reading the comments, and it was a couple other teams switching, and they said Clemson, South Carolina should just switch.
That would be great.
Two things I think are so stupid around that. One, we'll go with the South Carolina point of view. Like I've already stated, makes no sense for us to leave that conference with the money we're getting in.
Yeah.
And we're not, maybe in 2012 I'm saying, heck yeah, because then we get to just beat up on AC teams, go to the – and Clemson said Clemson's not in, and we were beating Clemson then. So we go to the ACC and we beat – and then we're in that championship. It's a lot easier of a road. Right now we're not a powerhouse in college football, so it makes zero sense to do that. None at all. Money-wise, and the other thing that makes me mad about it is people don't think about the other aspect of it, where it's not just college football you gotta worry about. Basketball, you gotta talk about baseball, you gotta talk about, like you said, academics, all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, Clemson's starting to sound more and more like a SEC school, except for the fact that we're good at baseball. But, I mean, there's plenty of good baseball teams in the SEC.
But
that's what I'm about to say. We are always bad at basketball. We haven't been good at basketball since we had Trevor Booker.
Right.
And
Brad Brownell. That's right.
I was like 8 years old.
Fire his ass quick, bro.
And and even though I'm not a big, and this is nothing against the sport, I just don't pay too much attention to women's basketball. But we are a powerhouse in that, and that is something that the conference also does consider. They consider all aspects of it. So I just think that makes not a lot of sense for South Carolina, and they would not do that. And also, and here's why I don't think
that's the thing, and you can say that about every SEC team.
Exactly.
One's going to want to leave. And
I don't think anybody will.
Yeah.
But logistically, if you take the logistics out of it and the fact that no one in the SEC is going to leave, I think you could definitely say it would make more sense for other teams to be there.
I still don't think of South Carolina. Because here's the thing. This is what I get
South Carolina brings in plenty of money, but what have they ever actually done, honestly? They've never won a national championship. I mean, they competed highly in, between 2012 and 2016?
2010 to 2014.
Okay, so, but other than that, they've never really been good.
Well, there's a lot of schools you can say that about. I mean, at the end of the day.
But Clemson, I mean,
But here's the thing. Here's the thing, and this is where I get into the Clemson side of things. Say Clemson's been in the SEC from the get-go, and this cakewalk of a schedule to get to the playoff is not there. It's not there. And this is not me trying to be I'm being just straight up honest. And this is why I don't think it makes sense for Clemson to leave. Because you got to think, every year Clemson has the ability. They know that as long as they just play well, they don't even have to really do too much. They have the talent that they can beat anybody. As long as and the ACC is so down.
Well, don't act like
it is.
It's just a cakewalk.
It is.
But you still have to show up every Saturday.
Other than the non-conference.
Every Saturday.
That is true.
And it's not
that is true, but think about
these
teams. You've
got to win every game.
But think about
the teams
you're playing.
Yes, every single game. And if we lose one, if we drop one and it's not to a decent team, that's going to be a lot. They have to be ready to play.
Okay.
And we also have to beat the shit out of these teams because we are held to this standard.
If we're playing Pitt, we got to win by
45. We were winning every game, but since we weren't killing people, we were going down
still
in
make
the
a
standings.
Playoff, though. You still make the playoff.
Right.
If you run the table in the ACC, it doesn't matter. You're top five. You're going to win. You're gonna make
but say we're not killing everyone and we go 11-1.
Well, if you look at you guys with one loss, and depending on who the loss would be, you had – if you lost to a non-conference team, say you lose
Georgia. As long as we win the ACC championship.
Exactly. Say you lose a Georgia opening week this year, when you run the table, you're going to be in the playoff.
Yeah.
So That's what I'm saying. So, the only way Clemson's not going to make it is if they get two losses. And they would have to lose a conference game, which, with the talent they have, should not ever happen.
My response to that would be... I'm sorry. I just lost. Yeah, he's just like waving my phone in front of my face to open up the screen. Response to that would be, with the 12-team playoff, because this is obviously what the sport is going towards, college football, you're going to look at eventually two lost SEC teams that come in. Yeah. If you're Florida and you lose to Georgia and Bama, you're in pretty much. You could maybe eventually see a 3-loss SEC team come in. That's a lot of margin of error.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And Clemson doesn't have that. If we're in the ACC, we get maybe one loss if it was a hard-fought loss.
And if we lose two, there's no shot.
And if our quarterback's out or something.
Right.
But if we lose two games, we're done. There's no margin of error that we have that pretty much any SEC school is almost guaranteed just because the SEC is so tough when you, in reality, you play three hard games a year and then you beat up on South Carolina and other shitty teams the rest of the season.
I don't...
Well, honestly, Mississippi State is a good team.
This is also
pull up the ACC and compare Mississippi State to a lot of the ACC schools. Okay. They're better than the majority of the ACC
Arkansas,
schools. That's a down team right now.
Ole Miss
is better than the majority of the
Vanderbilt,
ACC schools.
Vanderbilt, Kentucky.
Kentucky is better than the majority of the ACC schools.
Tennessee.
Please find me. Look at the ACC as a conference. I'll read them off. Those programs are in shambles. The only one right now that looks lively other than Clemson and is consistent and is looking like they are on the up and come is North Carolina.
North Carolina looks pretty good. Yeah, I mean,
I don't know. Miami was a
ACC
top 10
is,
team.
Because here's the argument that I get so mad is like they say Auburn and A&M and Kentucky and this and our associate. You look at the ACC schools. Those school, if you put Kentucky in the ACC, they have a chance to win that conference.
But you're making it sound like we come to the SEC and we have to play the most amazing schools ever.
You're gonna have to play very good competition,
which would be awesome
for a fan. I'm saying it makes no sense.
But also prepare us better for the playoff. We don't have to just cakewalk the whole season and then up our game whenever we have to actually play a good team.
I'm saying, you've done it before, and every time you have to just wait a month to play a team,
you
guys do well. What I'm saying is, it makes no sense because you're in as a fan, you would love that, and it's exciting for the program itself. It makes no sense to leave the conference. You literally
much more money in the
SEC. That's
what
I was about to say.
That makes sense, absolutely. If we're talking logistics to get to the play, if you're talking national titles, and you want...
But what is this entire sport about? What is sports about in general? But who pays the money?
The fans.
Okay.
But they...
That's ticket sales, that's revenue share, that's TV.
Do you think Clemson's doing in the ACC right now?
I am a diehard Clemson fan. You know this. I've been a Clemson fan my entire life.
Yes.
I barely watched a game last year.
Yeah.
Because...
And we go there.
Yeah, and I go to school there.
Would you watch the national championship? Would you watch the playoff?
Yes.
Okay.
But I would much rather watch us play LSU, Alabama, all those schools.
At the expense of not making the playoff.
If we're playing those teams and we lose two times, we're in the playoff. That's what I'm trying to say.
Yeah, you said 3-loss. I don't think that's possible. 2-loss.
Eventually, I could see some freaky season where it happens.
I don't see a three-loss SEC team.
With an expansion.
Right, if I'm Georgia, Florida's a top 10 team. We lose to Florida, we lose to Alabama, and we lose to Oklahoma. And all three of those are playoff teams, and we smack the shit out of every other team. Are you really putting them out instead of an up and start?
Houston it's kind of hard to argue that, like, because you got to think all the other conferences now with 12, and now with 12, like a team like a Coastal or BYU who's undefeated, they're going to jump a three-loss SEC team. Even though the three-loss SEC team is probably better, they're going to jump them.
But think about how many
teams you're looking at.
As a team, like, how many more views, how much more merchandise is going to be purchased, how many more people are going to be at the games all game, actually, not leaving at halftime. It's just going to be overall better for the entire program.
You'd be hard-pressed to find any college football program that does not want to join the SEC.
That's true.
But like I
and
said
Clemson's
earlier,
in the perfect
if it's not
position,
broke, yeah. don't fix it. Like, you guys right now...
Right. And it wasn't.
And
we weren't going to do anything,
and
they're forcing our hand. Texas and Oklahoma are making things different now.
Right.
It wasn't broke.
And
Clemson
like,
was never going to complain
and,
about
and
that.
And Oklahoma's been good. And, I mean, they pop out quarterbacks like it's
you
nobody's
watch this right
business.
Now. Watch
but
this
what has Texas really done recently?
Texas is just money.
Exactly. Exactly.
And
they
have their own network.
And they're all the way in freaking Texas.
They have their own network with ESPN. Like, that's just a no-brainer for the conference. Like, they just bring in so much money. They're one of those. It's in Texas. Like,
it's such
they don't,
a powerful
they can be
brand,
so
dude.
Bad and it doesn't matter. That,
everything's bigger in
it's
Texas.
It's just Texas. That's all you have to say about that one. Oklahoma's actually it. But you watch this right now. I don't think Oklahoma's going to make the playoff.
But you're talking about it making sense. You're talking about it making sense as pertains to the...
You guys getting to the playoff, winning a national championship. That is what I'm saying. I'm not saying anything else. I'm saying it makes way more sense to stay in the ACC if you're going to chase titles. Because it is a... You guys have done it before, too. You say beef up the schedule and prepare yourself. You guys have had an easy schedule, got there, and beaten Alabama, beaten all these teams. You can do it. So why change that? You have the talent on the field, in the locker room, that is better than majority of the schools in the country. So if you get an easier way to that path and less chance for error, and then you get there and with that talent beat those teams, why change that?
I think we just
told you.
You
guys go to the SEC, you're going to have a lot less of a – it's going to – not a lot less. It's going to be a lot harder to make the playoff. Especially you guys going to join the East, and if they do that swap with Alabama and Auburn. I mean, you're going to have to go through Georgia, Alabama, Auburn, all these teams in one season.
That's exactly why we want to join.
As a fan, yes. I'm saying – oh, my God. I'm saying as a program, it doesn't make sense. If you
we just
to
told you
titles.
All the reasons it would make sense. The revenue share, right? The ticket sales. There's so many reasons.
But then when you talk about Texas joining, you say it makes sense because of the money. But then you say it doesn't make sense for
it makes sense for the conference, not Texas. Is what I'm saying. It makes no sense for Texas because they're already doing bad in the Big 12, so joining the SEC is not going to help them at all. It makes sense for the conference because they're joining the
I think you got this twisted, man. Everyone wants to be in the SEC. There's just,
I don't know.
Like, what,
I
there's no actual solid reason. Like, yeah, you're going to lose more games at first, but you get better recruits. You get better players, right? If you're in the SEC, that's a fact.
You guys are still getting the best players in the country right now in the ACC. You guys are winning in the ACC, so you're getting big recruits. Why change it?
Okay, this doesn't
you
have to be a
still
Clemson
having
thing.
The best
I was talking about Texas just now. This doesn't have to be a Clemson thing. I think you might just be scared for the Tigers to come into your conference, is what it sounds like, man.
It's not at all. Like, we're
might just be a little scared.
It doesn't change anything.
Old Dabo pulling up to
it doesn't change anything for me as a Gamecock fan. Like, this has nothing to do with South Carolina. We're bad right now. This argument doesn't pertain to us at all. We're
historic program, though. You have a big following, a big fan base, a historic program.
And hopefully we can get back to where we were and maintain it. But this isn't about that. I'm trying to say this doesn't make sense for Clemson as a program. To do that.
Okay. We're just going to have to agree to disagree and move on. Let's move on.
I think it's definitely more of a fan thing that they would join the conference, but why? Like, you guys are getting the best recruits in the country.
But that's what it comes back to.
You guys are winning.
As a fan, all of the fans of Clemson that have been there for years, I was more interested in watching Clemson football games and going to Clemson football games and being excited about Clemson when we were dog shit and every week was fun because I didn't know whether we were going to win or lose, but I wanted it really bad. But now it's like,
yeah,
and you want it.
If Boston College
for touchdowns at halftime,
Georgia
I'm,
Tech,
I'm whoop-de-doo,
yeah. And you want it, but there's like,
listen, I think we should just move on. We're not going to budge off of these stances.
But also, like, do you see Clemson running the table in the SEC?
I could see it.
Do you genuinely see that?
Sure.
Because you say, like, week to week to week to week, like, having to play better teams than what you're playing now, the margin for error is not as
high. Yeah, we don't have to force ourselves to
show.
There's
only been 2 15-0 teams ever.
Yeah.
LSU and Clemson.
Yeah.
So you don't have to go 15-0 to win a national championship.
That's right.
Especially with a 12-team
playoff. My question was if you run the table in the SEC.
I
think
it's very
possible.
If in a 12-team.
Okay. Why not?
In a 12-team playoff, it's possible. It might not happen, but in a 12-team playoff, we're not going to have to if we're in the SEC. So,
I mean, I just think you guys definitely would have a much broader chance to mess up when you're playing.
Yeah,
we
would
to
lose,
show up
we
every
would lose
Saturday.
More games.
All right, let's move on.
We
disagree.
We would lose more games.
We're talking in circles.
Team
USA.
I tried.
Team USA.
Y'all can segue that one.
It's
just frustrating because, like, I really try not to be biased.
Yeah.
And then it feels like this is a lot of bias, like, from this side. That's why, and then that's frustrating because it's always Austin's the bias when Austin's isn't that. This has nothing to do with bias at all.
We're not talking about that.
My thing was, you.
This is a lot of.
All
the
reasons disagree.
Why you said it's Texas join the SEC makes sense, or all the reasons you said it doesn't make sense for Clemson.
Yes.
No, it does. For the conference, it does not make sense. All right, for the conference, it makes sense for Texas to join. For the conference, it does not make sense for Texas. I never said it made sense for Texas.
I think it makes all the sense in the world, dude.
It just doesn't. It just doesn't. Like, why?
Yeah, they'll lose more games, but
what do you gain?
That's the only thing.
Like,
you lose
but
two
that makes it more
year.
Fun.
You're
it's
winning titles.
Fun.
You're getting the best recruits. You're one of the best programs in the country. You have all the facilities in the world. What do you gain from it?
If
just the fans
in,
being more excited
ACC.
About games.
Yes. Because
the
fans are
care.
What matter.
They don't
gain
care.
Money, bro. Money makes the world go around, especially college
Clemson
football.
Program does not care. They care about national titles. They want to win national titles, and that's what they're doing now.
Yeah. Okay, yes. All right, we disagree.
Yeah.
Let's go. What's next, big boy?
Yeah, fire off with the next tweet. Whose tweet was that? Because that one lit a fire under us.
No. Where's that? I have to pull it up.
T Team USA.
Did I refresh it?
Yeah. We'll move on to Team USA. You want to take point on that one also?
Yeah. Team USA dropped their first game of opening play to France last night. 83-76.
Somber tone.
Yeah. But
yeah. Kevin Durant, is he a leader?
Yeah.
Well, you have a team full of superstars. Austin's
GOAT, Kevin Durant.
You have a team full of superstars. I don't really know necessarily there is a leader on this team.
Yeah.
I mean, they all probably feel like they are the leader.
Yeah.
Very poor shooting night from Team USA, on top of the fact that Evan Fournier scored 28 points.
Yeah. If you have Gershon Yabusele giving you guys buckets like that, then that's embarrassing.
Yeah. And I wish it showed me how many minutes people played, because it does not show that for some reason. But they dropped another one, and it's starting to become like a real concern. I mean, this is the real deal. The exhibition games showed that we weren't too worried, because you say, oh, it's like games count.
But we started dropping them, and you can see it in their face.
Losing the first round, I mean, the first game in conference play is like, that's bad.
So are we out of the Olympics now? How does that work?
No, it's group play. So it's
that would be insane.
It's like the World Cup with soccer, so you have four teams in your group, and a win is like worth so many points. Soccer is you can draw and stuff, but I don't know how the Olympic basketball works.
So this is the first game of group play, so we're not out. We're just going to have to win pretty much every game from now on, and then maybe get into the tournament.
Yeah, we're definitely going to need to win our next two. I don't know who's in our group.
And I think this comes back to what we were talking about in our last podcast, where the NBA is so soft now.
Yep.
They're just getting bullied.
Yeah, absolutely.
And we have Damian Lillard is going 3-for-10. Kevin Durant's going 4-for-12. It's not like they're bad, and they're not playing. They're playing against France. And if these Frenchies were this good, then they would be in the NBA.
You know, Dame actually said something when he was asked about Evan Fournier, because I think Fournier went off. He gave him like 30 or something.
Mm-hmm.
He was like, yeah, these guys play different when they're playing for their country.
Yeah, they just play.
Maybe, maybe it's just a different game.
Right. It's basketball. Basketball is not a non-contact sport, and that's what it's becoming in the NBA.
Basketball in its more pure form.
Yes, I might without argue. All the freaking...
Where Rudy Gobert can actually defend the paint instead of just standing in the paint and being a defensive liability.
Yeah, literally, you just have to stand there and try... Like, DeAndre Ayton was basically dodging Giannis as he's coming through trying not to get foul calls.
Yeah.
And he was still getting foul calls. Straight arms straight up if Giannis jumps into him.
Yeah.
And I think we're just seeing the fruits of the soccer-esque... NBA.
Also, shame on Coach K for leaving Team USA out to dry like that. Obviously, Greg Popovich was not the coaching answer we thought he was.
How about Bam? 5-for-8, though. 12 points, 10 rebounds.
Yeah, Bam's a beast.
Bam's a beast. Very underrated, very underappreciated.
Yeah,
absolutely.
But just other than that, no one else shot above 50%, except for Danny Green, 1-for-1.
Danny Green's on that team?
No, Draymond.
Draymond Green.
Okay, I was going to say.
My bad.
Yeah, no wonder we're losing.
And then, either way.
Yeah, no.
And then Zach LaVine, 3-for-6.
Just a little side note I'm calling right now. Give it like 2-3 years, Bam will be the best center in the NBA.
I do not disagree. He's very talented.
What is he? I would say he's, what, top three?
Yeah, and it's things that people don't notice.
That's like, so crazy, dude. Evan Fournier is giving us buckets. 11-for-22.
He can switch defensively.
I've seen Bam take the court. Bam's gotten it too. And this is the thing people don't notice. If you watch the Heat play when they were in man, they switch everything. Literally, I don't see teams that switch.
I can't believe
Bam.
Here's the hard part for me, though, with all of this. So Pop is our coach. Pop has been in the NBA way before it's become what it is.
Yeah.
Why hasn't he lit a fire under the ass already? Why hasn't he been like, hey, listen, we're getting bullied.
I don't think he's that kind of guy.
And I feel like there's so much you can do when you have literally all stars.
Yeah.
You
got Kevin Durant out there. You think Kevin Durant
is
going
to
take?
Nothing you say is going to.
And also, do you think that they really want it? Like
they do. I mean, you're playing for your country, and if they didn't want it, they wouldn't be spending their entire
Devin Booker, Chris Middleton, and Drew
straight
Holiday.
Straight to the final, instead of resting, they go
straight
to Tokyo.
Yeah. And Drew Holiday played the most minutes on the team.
I think after this year is going, even just already the way it's going. Next year, we're going to see some big names back in the Olympics. Or at least
yeah, it's like
for
the like the redeem team. You know
right.
what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, 08 was crazy.
Exactly. Well, yeah, and on top of it, people, you got to consider this. We had the COVID outbreak happen, went to the bubble, shortened off season, played a full season pretty much, 10 games shorter, regular season, playoffs, and then now these guys...
True, they haven't stopped.
Because these guys are tired. But that at the same token, that proves that they won it.
But it's
also,
not.
Why would they do that? The whole French team is also NBA players. pretty much. All the starting five that I looked
at.
Anyway.
Yeah, I wonder how much, like, other than Rudy Gobert, I wonder how much Evan Fournier is really exerting himself compared to, like, some of these superstars on this team. Like, how much, but
Fournier, he was
what, he probably had a lot
Celtics.
More in the tank.
He didn't make it too deep in the playoffs.
Fournier probably had a lot more in the tank than a Damian Lillard, who they both got knocked out in the same round, but think about how much Dame had to do in that tonight compared to Evan Fournier.
Yeah, but I mean, how long has it been since Dame had played in that? Like a month at least?
Yeah. I mean, they need time, they need rest, but also, based on what you said, is they really want it. I think this is the time where these guys want to rest more than anything, but they're doing it for their country. So they do want it, they're just not winning.
Got the push, push.
And I really didn't like this one. Can you help me with that name real quick?
Keldon Johnson?
Yeah. And David, I don't know if you know this, but so Pop obviously is a coach for the Team USA and coaches the San Antonio Spurs. Keldon Johnson is like a very average young guy for the Spurs. And when Bradley Beal opted out and Kevin Love had opted out, they brought in JaVale McGee and Keldon Johnson.
Yep.
A lot, that Keldon Johnson name, and JaVale McGee, I guess, for just big, long, lengthy
right.
rebounder. Keldon Johnson, that one really brought like a question mark to everything. It's like, why? Like, what?
Other than just Pop, it was just a phone call away.
When the fact that he was on the Spurs, when really they said originally the guy they wanted was Duncan Robinson. And they eventually dropped Duncan Robinson and picked up Keldon Johnson.
They also didn't even – Trae Young was not even a discussion. I think that's hilarious.
What?
Yeah, but this Keldon Johnson kid, because he's a young guy with Pop Spurs. Do you think Pop, if he was coached for another team? Yeah.
Why is Trae Young – hold on. Let's back up.
He wasn't – on the team. He was tweeting. You remember that bite from the last dance?
Tweeting at them trying to play?
Yeah, remember I had the bite from the last dance when Isaiah Thomas was like, I met the criteria to be selected, but I was not selected. Talking about the dream team.
Yeah.
Trae Young retweeted that and was like, same, bro.
Well, dude, yeah, and I mean, maybe because they're so guard heavy. I don't really know. That didn't really make too much sense to me either, but maybe.
But who's better than him on there besides Dame?
Kevin Durant. Well, I'm talking about
he's
guards.
Not a guard.
Guard guards?
Yeah.
The Devin Booker. I don't know if you want to say Drew Holiday.
No,
I like Drew Holiday.
His defense, he's
I
gonna
like Drew Holiday. Better.
He's gonna bring.
That,
a,
they need that.
He's gonna bring a factor to that team that they don't really have.
Yeah, because Dame's defense is being exposed.
Holiday
right
did play
now.
The most
Dame
minutes.
Dame is playing awful defense.
Really,
I wish I would have gotten.
Anyway,
to
back to what
game.
I was saying though. Say Pop is the coach for a different team. Do you think that he's calling Keldon Johnson? No, it's only because he's the coach for the Spurs. And Duncan Robinson was apparently like it was. They had said like it was a report that came out that he was pretty much like gonna be the one they were going to bring in.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing about Duncan Robinson is, yeah, he's not some big-name guy. He's one of the best three-point shooters in the NBA.
Yeah.
You watch a Heat game. We know this. You watch a Heat game. He spaces the floor so much because people have to be in his pocket all the time.
Yeah.
And he also has perfect spots on the floor. Like, he knows how to move. And that's an underrated concept in basketball, especially European style.
He's able to get open. And he'll have some games with the Heat where he'd have, like, 6-9 points, like off two or three or three pointers.
Mm-hmm.
He'd be like, oh, he played terrible. But if you watch the game, he spaced the floor so much because they had to have a man
creating
on the triple
shots.
Time. Other people were able to get to the rim and do some other stuff. So I was like, I thought that was a easy decision.
It's just crazy. Like,
but what's Keldon Johnson doing? 0 points.
To me, it's just wild.
I like Keldon Johnson. He's a good player, man. He's really good on defense, too.
The amount of talent,
I think,
in the NBA, we could, like, it's just frustrating watching us lose. Because we could easily pull up with LeBron, Kawhi, Giannis, KD, and Paul George.
We can't pull up with Giannis. He's Greek.
And Paul George. Okay, so
Paul George. Yeah,
but also a lot of those guys opted out.
That's what I'm saying though. Say after this year, we show up.
Right.
I mean.
Yeah, I mean, we did get Kevin Durant. He's a consensus
top 2 player.
But still,
listen to these names though: Draymond Green, Bam Adebayo, Zach LaVine, Damian Lillard, Kevin Durant. I'm not even gonna say Keldon Johnson. Jason Tatum, Chris Middleton, JaVale McGee, Devin Booker,
JaVale McGee,
Drew Holiday, and Jeremy Grant. There is no way this team should lose to anybody.
Yeah.
Like, there's no excuse. I don't care.
Pull up the bench for France. Who do they have playing off the bench?
I can't even spell these names, and I don't even... Frank Nikolakina?
Yeah.
He didn't even play.
Nikolakina.
I don't even know these other guys.
Yeah, well, the dude's trash, so I wouldn't play him either.
But, like, Gobert, Nick Batum started for France.
Well, he started for the Clippers. He played some serious playoff minutes, and he's actually good.
So, we had, like, Nick Batum lined up against Kevin Durant, and we're
losing.
He just went to the Hornets.
Now, Bam and Rudy Gobert.
He was good before he went to the Hornets.
Same thing with Lance Stephenson, dude.
Yeah.
The Hornets...
They kind of find a way to suck everything out of you. But
MJ, man.
I will say Bam and Rudy Gobert, I think, cancel each other out. I think that's a big matchup down low. But, like, and also I don't think Draymond Green should be starting.
But who on that court is guarding KD?
What
is KD doing? He needs to, like, why is
he
not?
He just shot really bad. I mean, he shot.
He only shot 12 shots.
Yeah, he shot 4 for 12. He just shot really bad. He shot really poorly. He's shooting. He's probably getting open.
You know what? How many? How much you want to bet that one of those is just like he was looking for a foul and just flung one up and didn't actually shoot the ball?
Now, can I also say this?
At least
feel free.
Real quick, because we're about to wrap this up. What is the appeal of Draymond Green to people? I watch it and everybody everywhere is like, and there, so there has, and experts are saying he's great, so there has to be a reason. I just don't see it. What is it about Draymond Green?
I mean,
should be starting for Team USA.
He brings tenacity, and I'm not a huge Draymond Green fan, but just to play devil's advocate here, he brings tenacity. He's great passer, great defender.
Do you think he should be starting on this team though?
See, I don't even know how great of a defender he is anymore.
You could start because he's a four. Like he's or yeah. Because you have Kevin Durant, I guess, at your three, even though he could. This line's weird. But anyway, you could take Draymond out and put in. I mean, I know you got to think about like your bench and stuff, but like a Jeremy Grant who didn't even play, or like a Jason Tatum.
Is he on the
at, like your three, KD at your four?
He's not starting.
Who?
Jason Tatum?
No.
What?
You have Jason. Yeah, Draymond starting.
Jason Tatum.
The starting lineup is Damian Lillard, Zach LaVine, Kevin Durant, Draymond Green, Bam. And I'm saying, why don't you just move KD down, because he's 7 feet, move him down to the four and put Tatum at the three.
Yeah.
But or put Devin Booker there. I don't know. Or Chris Middleton. I don't.
Yeah.
There's so many people you could put there over Draymond.
Kelvin Johnson got more minutes than Chris Middleton.
And we have no size. Like, if we wouldn't have got.
What is Pop doing?
Say we didn't have JaVale McGee, who came in there last minute. It would have been Kevin Love. Would have been our next big off the bench.
They're just trying to push through.
We had no size, bro. Bam's just undersized center, to be honest. Bam's not a huge center.
He's like
That's why he's so good at defending perimeter-wise, but.
One thing I will say is when you're creating these Team USA, like these all-star team types, and that might be part of the reason they passed on Trae Young, you're going to get a lot of shoot-first, ball-dominant players that aren't necessarily defensive studs, and I think Draymond Green does fill that gap a little bit. That's why I wouldn't have minded, you know, if Ben Simmons was American. Like, I feel like he would fit in with that team well. He doesn't like shooting, but, you know, he's good at passing and defense and all that.
Yeah, big body.
Yeah, yeah.
And I think that
point guard, yeah, that would be really good for us.
Unfortunately, he is Australian.
Right.
But
we just need – I think we – I haven't watched – I didn't watch the game. But I just feel like we –
Australia low-key is sounding kind of nice. They got Joey.
We
Joey
get rebounds. Joey.
Patty Mills and Ben Simmons. They can make some noise over there.
No,
they got a big three like nobody's business. I feel like they also have some, like, a couple other good players, too.
They beat us. They beat us a rebound.
Is he Australian or something?
Yeah, Andrew Bogut is. Yeah.
How old is he now?
He's not. I don't think he plays.
Talk about old. Luis Scola is still playing for his team. Isn't that funny?
Yeah, he plays for Argentina, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Man is jacked. Have you seen that?
He's jacked, just straight up gray hair.
Oh, yeah.
He does not even care.
He still plays. It's awesome.
I know. He's getting buckets.
I don't know.
Like
I think
20-something points.
I think they
used
really
to have just the shoulder-length black hair.
They did a bad job
the Rockets or something.
Picking up length on this roster. And I wish I could, like I said, I wish I could see the minutes. It didn't show the minutes they played. But, like, Jeremy Grant as a forward didn't even play. Like, you have JaVale, who had 2 points, had one rebound. So, I don't think he played very much.
JaVale McGee.
Like, who –
What I'm wondering
is, we have to be getting beat.
What kind of personnel choices are you picking up JaVale McGee?
Honestly, we have no length. Like, our only true center on this roster that before
couldn't have Joel Embiid either. He's not American.
Bam was the only true center we have on this roster. Now, our tallest player, I don't know how tall JaVale McGee is.
Also, Kevin Love looking chunky. Have y'all seen him recently? He's
looking
a little thick.
Reports Miami was looking into getting him and Colin Sexton.
Hey, he was better when he was fat. That's all I'm saying.
Miami's interested.
Yeah, it's true.
He was.
When he was fat with
the
buzz cut.
Dude.
Sheesh. Yeah.
He looked like he did not know what he was doing. Like, you just saw him, but he was a bucket.
Yeah, he dropped 40-20 games.
Who are you taking? Prime prime Kevin Love or prime Jokic? That would be a fun matchup to watch.
Ooh.
I think Jokic still. I think Jokic should do more.
And a team sport.
He's got the MVP.
And a team
sport. I'll never forget.
But that would be a fun one-on-one.
Yeah. My dad is a die.
Especially if it was full court.
My dad's a die.
Full court.
Come on,
my dad.
Fake an interview.
My dad is a diehard South Carolina Gamecock fan, diehard Washington football team fan. I love
that.
That
sucks.
He's a
and he's a diehard.
But NBA, he's a diehard Kevin Love fan. He follows wherever Kevin Love goes. So I remember Kevin Love was playing for the Timberwolves, and he was playing in Charlotte. It was the Bobcats. I think it was the Bobcats. It was the Bobcats or Hornets? Maybe. Oh, it was the Hornets. I think it was the Hornets at this point. Hornets. And the Timberwolves, so, you know, it's not on televised, so they're barely anybody in the seats, but me and my dad and my brother Taylor are there, and we're
going crazy.
So
every time Kevin,
I just remember that was my first time my dad got to see Kevin Love.
The good
person.
Part about going to a Hornets game is you only have to pay like $10 because nobody wants to see
you in the Timberwolves. I want to say
he was like 2 points short. He had like 38 and 20.
Hey,
in a win.
I mean, that was every night for him.
I remember like, Kevin Love was
me
leaving
back in the day.
Kevin Love was leaving to go to the locker room, and my dad like went under the rope. Like security had to like back him up. Like he was just so excited. And I was like a little kid getting to see Kevin.
Kevin,
Love.
Kevin, hey.
Yeah, my dad.
Who's
my dad's
this 45-year-old
grown.
Dude?
My dad's a grown man, like acting like a little kid.
Kevin,
like, want a high five?
Sign my tits.
You wanna finish us off?
Yes, sir. So I appreciate you guys tuning in. Hope y'all listened all the way through. Finding a little bit of animosity in there today. But
if you guys are still listening, Venmo request David to leave a $30. He will pay you. If you're still listening, you will get paid.
It's true.
I'll be the first one to do it. So.
Yeah, but anyways, thank y'all for tuning in. It's been fun. Hope y'all have a good day. And